Well, welcome everyone. It's always so good to hear you. We have so many things in common, but the most important is the one that brings us together from Norway to Dubai to Connecticut to California is that we know that a life of awareness and responsibility is something that has not in the past been a part of human experience in the way that it is calling to us now. And it is calling to us now because we are experiencing a significant change in human consciousness. We're becoming aware of ourselves as more than minds and bodies. We're becoming aware of ourselves as souls, or whatever you want to call the immortal aspect of yourself. We're becoming aware of ourselves as of our world as more than random and imposing itself upon us, but as meaningful and teaching us about love, even in ways that appear tragic at the time. And all of this is something that people, individuals who are becoming multisensory, that is, who are able to perceive themselves in the world with more than their five senses, are beginning to know or be drawn to. So what we are going to talk to you about today is choices. What choices are you making? And you might think, well, that's pretty easy. I'm making a choice to move to another city. I'm making a choice to get married or get divorced. I'm making a choice to buy a car, to have children. So some of these choices appear much more important than others. But actually, there's a choice that's more important than all of them. Let me start at the beginning. Most people think that they have almost unlimited choices because we have unlimited choices about what to do, when to do it, and whom to do it with. But when it comes to the intention behind a choice, we only have two options, love and fear. And this is what we want to bring, Linda and I want to bring your attention to today. And the most important choice you can make anytime, anywhere, doing anything is the intention behind what you're doing. Where is it coming from in you? Is it coming from jealousy, from resentment, from superiority, from inferiority? Is it coming from gratitude or appreciation?
Or needing to please someone.
Or needing to please. So the needing to please, the superiority, the resentment, all of those are choices that come from fear. And choices that come from gratitude, from appreciation, from caring, from patience, those are choices that come from love. And it's important to know about these choices. It's very helpful. Because when you make a choice from love, the consequences that that choice creates are always constructive and beneficial. And when you make a choice from fear, which means from anger, from jealousy, any of those painful things, the choices, the consequences that those choices make are always destructive and painful. So the choice of fear or the choice of love is the fundamental choice that all of us make continually. We choose between creating beneficial and constructive consequences for ourselves and creating destructive and painful consequences for ourselves. Now, not many people think about how important those choices are, but it's actually the choice of your future. You are actually creating your future as you make choices with love and choices with fear. And now here's the thing. Most people are not aware of whether they're creating from love or whether they're creating from fear. And so when they create choices, when they create consequences that are painful and destructive, they say to themselves, wow, ouch, that hurt. How did this happen to me? Why is this happening to me? How could this have happened to me? And that's because they were not aware of their intention when they made the choices that created these painful consequences. And when something comes that's beautiful, instead of saying, my, what good luck this is, they can strive to become aware of when they make their choices in love. Now, most people make choices unconsciously, and that means they make them from fear. So there's different ways to be able to recognize the difference between an intention of love and an intention of fear. And we teach about all of these things in our books and our events and in programs like this Life School. Now this morning we're going to show you a way that most people don't think about, but it's always accurate and very helpful also, because it shows you how to experience one of the most fulfilling and wonderful things that humans can experience, and that is compassion. So what is compassion? When you feel compassion toward another person, your heart melts. This is much more than empathizing or sympathizing.
Can you explain that, beloved, what the difference is between empathizing, sympathizing, and compassion?
Sure. Well, see, I'll use something from my life. I was in the Army for 3 years. I loved it. I enlisted. I was an enlisted man in the infantry. Then I was an officer in the Special Forces. And because of that time, I have a special empathy with people who wear uniforms, with people who wear weapons, with people who have missions, with people who are part of a larger team. That doesn't mean that my heart melts to them. It means that when I'm speaking with a police officer, I have an understanding of some of, maybe not all of, but a lot of what goes on in that person's experience, because I had the experience of weapons, radios, missions, responsibilities, insignia, rank, and all of those things. That's not compassion. It's not sympathy. I'm not saying, oh my goodness, you poor guy, you're a cop. It's not like that at all. So there's a difference between sympathy and empathy, and neither sympathy nor empathy are compassion. Compassion has to do with your heart. I can empathize with someone who's wearing a uniform and not feel heartfelt about that person. I just empathize with what they're doing. I have some understanding of it. And I can sympathize with someone who might be in pain. But once I understand the difference between caretaking and caregiving, I can see that sympathizing is actually caretaking, and it's not a healthy thing, although most people think it's very healthy.
That's a big topic, though, isn't it, beloved?
Because, that is a big topic.
Yeah, because a lot of times we think, a lot of times people think that sympathizing is a good thing, that it comes from love. And that's, again, we're talking about choices, aren't we? We're talking about you have choices, and really we're looking at the intentions for why you're feeling a certain way about someone. So is your intention, when you feel sympathy, is your intention coming from love or is it coming from fear?
That's the question. There are a lot of big things that we're going over rather quickly here. Choice, intention, sympathy, empathy, compassion. But we'll devote entire Life School calls to each of these major things, mm-hmm. because they're all so important. But right now we're talking about one way to know if the energy behind the choice that you're making is love or fear, because most people do not know that. If you're not aware of what your intention is, you're making it unconsciously. And if you're making a choice of intention unconsciously, it's going to be an intention of fear. And choices of love require consciousness. When we talk about compassion, we're talking about the heart. We're talking about how your heart feels towards someone else. You feel tender toward him or her. And this, by the way, can be a surprising experience, because you might find yourself feeling tender toward a person you've judged harshly, who's done painful and destructive things. But when compassion comes to you, you suddenly find yourself relating in an entirely different way. Entirely different way. And that's soul to soul. Soul to soul is not a mystical way of experiencing yourself in another person. It happens spontaneously sometimes. For example, when you look for a moment into the eyes of someone, like a clerk or a bus driver that you don't know, and there's a connection in that moment that feels good, that feels natural, and that you enjoy. That's a soul to soul connection.
Can I go back a little bit? Mm-hmm. I just want to know, when you said soul to soul is not a mystical way of looking or of experiencing yourself, can you explain what you mean by that?
Yes. Well, what I mean is sometimes when some people hear a term like soul to soul, they think that maybe it's something I couldn't experience, or that I've got to meditate for a long time to experience, or that I've got to be an initiate in some belief system to experience. But it's not. It's something that's natural. It's when you feel a connection with someone. I remember getting on a bus in New York once, and just as I was putting something into the coin collector, I looked into her eyes, and there was something nice there. And I realized, I like this person.
Hmm.
And then I went to the back of the bus and sat down, and then I finished our bus ride. But I still remember her. That's the soul-to-soul connection. And they're natural. We are natural soul-to-soul connectors. So what keeps us from connecting soul-to-soul all the time? That's fear.
Yeah. Mm.
So we're suggesting that one way, among others, that you can know when you're acting from love is if you're feeling compassion. When you have compassion for someone, you recognize in that person something that is also in you, and also, for example, is kind and brave, and you feel compassion because of the bravery and the kindness of that person. Sometimes to something that you see in someone else and you feel in yourself is very painful in you, like the illness of someone you love, and you've experienced that too, and you see that pain in someone else. And your heart opens to that other person because you know what that pain feels like. And again, this is not sympathy. This is compassion. That pain, the pain of loss when someone leaves the earth school, when a soul returns home, is an experience of a frightened part of a personality, although most people are not aware of this. We'll talk to you about this also more fully in other calls, but on this call, we want to share the idea that compassion is an experience that comes from a loving part of your personality. When you feel compassion, you're in love. You're in the presence of love. And when you act from love, you create constructive consequences for you and for others. Isn't that amazing when you think that if you're aware enough to know the intention beneath each of your choices, you are aware enough to do something utterly remarkable, and that is to create your life consciously, to create the experiences that are going to come to you, and choose those that are constructive and beneficial. By the way, it's not possible to feel compassion for someone else without feeling compassion for yourself too. That's one of the wonderful things about compassion. You see yourself more softly, with more appreciation, and with more acceptance. In fact, with total acceptance. This works both ways. It's impossible to feel compassion for yourself without feeling compassion for other people too, or another person also.
So, for my own experience with feeling compassion, it's like a state of being. It's just how I... what I'm feeling in the moment that I feel about myself, about everything and everyone, but maybe directed towards someone, I feel compassion for that person or the because of something that happened, maybe even something that was painful.
Let me give a dramatic example of someone experiencing compassion in a way that was startling to them. I've seen it Linda and I have seen this twice over the decades that we have been giving events. And these are examples of someone who was abused as a child, very young child, and has carried resentment, anger, humiliation, or rage throughout their lives because of that abuse, and feeling hatred for the abuser. And as they come to create authentic power, they find that they can understand what that abuser was experiencing at the time. They couldn't understand that as a child. They couldn't understand it as a young person, or they didn't. They didn't understand it as a young adult. They didn't even understand it as an older adult. And as they created authentic power, they did. They
when you say created authentic power, you mean they kept deciding to choose love as much as they could all the time.
Yes. As they created authentic power, they developed emotional awareness,
mm-hmm.
what it is and how to use it by using their body. They came to understand responsible choice, a choice that creates consequences for which they are willing to assume responsibility. And that's what we're doing now in this call.
So they can see all of those emotions that they've been feeling all this time, anger, resentment,
mm-hmm.
Embarrassment, shame, all of those emotions all came from parts of their personality that are based in fear.
That's right.
And so as they begin to challenge those frightened parts of their personality and not let them control them anymore, they began to be able to choose with love and eventually feel actually compassion for everything that happened.
That's right. In these particularly dramatic cases, these individuals came to see their abuser not as a monster, as a beast, but as another personality like themselves that sometimes has frightened parts active. And more than that, they came to see their abuser as a soul like themselves. And that was when they were startled to find that they were actually experiencing compassion for the person they had hated all their lives, that they had thought vengeful thoughts about. So compassion is powerful. This is another way of saying you are powerful. You are a powerful and creative, compassionate and loving spirit. But most of the time, most people are not aware of that at all. But you are in the life school so that you can participate in conversations like this. And I'll remind you again, as Linda and I do at every event and hopefully every call when we remember, to say it's up to you to decide what is going to be true for you, which means what you're going to open your heart to and what you're going to experiment with. And then when you experiment, if it works out for you, experiment some more.
And also, Gary and I always say, for those of you that are new on the call, we always have new people coming on too. So I want to say that Gary and I always say that everything we say, we don't ask you to believe what we're talking about. We say, try it out for yourself. See if it's true for you. Because, in fact, we say not to believe anything anyone says or anyone writes. Someone writes a book, what they're writing may not resonate with you. What we're saying today, maybe it will, maybe it won't. But we're just offering it as the way that we see the world and what has really made a difference for us in our life. And so that's why we're sharing that with you.
Of course. We're also sharing it with you because you're on this call because you'd like to make a difference in your life.
Absolutely.
And you're experimenting with different things. Whatever it is you're experimenting with, we suggest you don't take it as true just because someone says it or wrote a book about it or is on television. Take it into your life, the parts that you resonate with. See if it makes your life more wholesome and sane and balanced and graceful and elegant. And if it doesn't, try something else.
So we want to hear from you. Gary and I always love to take questions, hear sharing. This is part of our interactive call with all of you. So we'd like you to, if you just, we have a few questions and maybe you can just be take a moment and see what questions may come up for you.
Do you think we should just, if we have enough time, ask if there's any questions about what we've said so far?
So that's what we are going to do. So what I want to do is just say that if you want to raise your hand and ask us a question or make a comment or just share what is true for you right now about what we're talking about, then please raise your hand. And raise your hand by pressing 1 on your keypad. That will show us that you have your hand raised, and we can call on you then. So feel free to do that.
Yeah, so push 1 on your keypad if you have something to share or if you have a question that you'd like to ask us about what we've been talking about.
So some of the questions that I have for you, have you felt compassion for yourself or for someone? When have you felt compassion for yourself or someone else?
Yes.
You know, we'd like to hear what your experience is of compassion. And if you have felt the difference between sympathy and compassion, if you've noticed that, and if you've really been able to see that the real choice that you always have to make, it's not about what car you're going to buy or what partner you're going to have or what city you're going to move to or if you're going to quit your job or not, it's really about what is this decision? Am I making this decision from love or fear? So if you have a really good example of when you really saw that, we'd love to hear about that too. So press 1 on your keypad if you would like to answer any of those questions or any insights you have. So we're going to start calling on people, but remember, as things come up for you, go ahead and raise your hand as we're talking if something is stimulated in you. So I'm going to call on Suha right now. Suha, I'm going to let you know when your microphone's unmuted. Suha.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Suha.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Suha.
Good morning, or whatever time it is.
Yeah, you know, as Gary was talking, I wrote down on my notepad, can I feel compassion for my brother? I think in all the years that I've been working with you guys, in the back of my mind, I've always known that I have a very strong, maybe multiple frightened parts when it comes to my brother. And I've just been leaving them at bay and not really addressing them. And I think that these frightened parts are now starting to surface. I don't know if I can have compassion for him. Maybe those are my frightened parts talking. And so that was really one big thing that came for me. He's a drug addict, and I was codependent with him for a long time, and I've detached since then. And since that detachment, I can't find any compassion for him. I find my frightened parts are very strong with judgment, resentment. And then towards the end of when Gary was talking, I think the question was, do I feel compassion for myself? And, so I recognize frightened parts in me that feel unworthy. And I challenge those. But I don't think I have compassion for myself. Or my frightened parts don't.
Thank you for making that correction, that clarification, Suha. Frightened parts of your personality don't. They have no compassion for you. They don't have any compassion for your brother. And if you really look at them, they don't have any compassion for anybody, anywhere,
right,
anytime. But once you realize, as you are, that these are not experiences that are coming from the unchangeable ground of your being, but from parts, particular parts of your personality, then you can begin to get the perspective that you don't have to believe them, literally. And, of course, there's experiences that come with them, and the experiences don't appear to be matters of belief. They appear to be matters of emotional reality, but they are also parts of the experiences of fear. And as you see those, then you begin to see that other people have experiences of fear too. And it's just as overwhelming, destructive, very difficult to resist or to challenge. And that's when compassion begins to emerge. So with you, pardon me, Barbara?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Suha, though, if she realized, did you realize, Suha, that, I know, did you realize that when you were feeling codependent, I think that's what you said with your brother, that was an experience of a frightened part of your personality?
Yeah, I learned that after I started working with you guys. I think back then I didn't, but since I've started doing this work, I do recognize it as a frightened part of my personality.
Uh-huh. And but then let's look at the other end. Then you said you detached from him.
Yeah.
Well,
I ran. That's fear too. That's,
you're aware that that's a frightened part of your personality, right? So you went from being too attached to just pushing him away, basically. No attachment.
Yeah.
So when we because sometimes we say, we always say if you're attached. But what we mean by attached is attached with fear. Being detached with fear is no different, though.
Correct.
So in other words, when I am really not attached to something that someone does, and I'm not attached, it's not that I'm pushing them away. It's just that I'm not letting that, interfere with my love for them. Whatever they do, they can do whatever they do. They can say whatever they want to say, but my love is always there. So I'm not attached to what they do.
What was that clear?
Yeah, I get that.
Okay, now Linda said earlier, you were too attached. The frightened part was too attached. What was a slip? It's not okay to be a little attached, and it's. It's not okay to be a little attached, but not okay to be a lot attached. Attachment is the issue. Attachment is fear.
Yes,
it's not a little attachment or a lot of attachment. Any attachment is fear. And any attachment that you have, and you notice, will let you know that you are in a frightened part of your personality. And if you act from it, you'll create painful consequences. And in that moment, you're not feeling compassion at all because you're in fear.
Suha said the other opposite, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
I think...
Sorry, Suha. Go ahead.
No, when I said detached, I meant physically. I recognize that from a frightened part perspective and emotionally, I'm very attached and fear. It's coming from fear.
Yes. The pushing away is like the other side of that. You don't... A frightened part of your personality doesn't want to go into that hellish experience that you had before.
Right.
And so it pushes him away. But in both cases, you can't see this person as a soul or even as a personality like you that has frightened and loving parts. So these are good things to observe in yourself. And the answer to your question is yes, you can have compassion for the personality that is in pain, that is your brother, in so much pain that it's fleeing or attempting to flee the pain into drugs. People attempt to flee pain in so many ways: drugs, alcohol, food, shopping, sex, pornography, adventures.
Feeling superior to other people.
Feeling inferior.
Mm-hmm.
They flee into acquisition and austerity. And once you see how deep that pain is and how difficult it is, and that everyone has it, that's when compassion begins to emerge. There's an old anonymous saying, be gentle with everyone, because everyone is fighting a great battle. And you've fought that battle. Everyone on this call has fought that battle and is fighting that battle when a frightened part of your personality is active and judges and pushes people away and creates distance. And as you create distance from the other person, that distance is what you're creating in yourself. You're pushing yourself and everyone and the world away. Compassion is a moment when all of that disappears. And you're able to see it. And you're able to see yourself with gentleness too and say, I'm not so bad. I've got a personality with frightened and loving parts. And I was doing the best I could at the time. And now I can do differently if I remind myself to and set the intention to.
So Suha, this is a when you want someone to be different than they are, and you want your brother to be different than he is, you want him to be the way you want him to be. Your frightened part does, right?
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. So that's something you have to decide to challenge in yourself, to let your brother be who he is, the way he is, and be on his own journey, his own path, which you have no idea, you know, what he's learning or what he needs to learn in this lifetime. And I know that's been my journey with certain people in my family, where I've had to let them be who they are, doing what they're doing, because anything more than that would be trying to change them, which would be pursuing external power. I can offer them support, but if they don't want that support, then I can let that go if I choose that. But I have to choose from love to do that. I have to, and then from that, I can feel much compassion for myself and the other person, because I'm no longer pursuing external power. I'm no longer trying to change them.
Yeah, I think that's a big one.
Yeah.
That's the big one. That's life. That's life in the Earth School. Continually having encounters that will activate frightened parts of your personality that are keeping you from loving, keeping you from compassion, keeping you from your fulfillment, keeping you from your creativity, keeping you from other people. And these are all experiences for your benefit, for your spiritual growth. And when you see that this happens to everyone, well, you can't help but start to feel some compassion for them, because it's hard. But the potential is so enormous. And if they don't understand it, you understand what it's like not to understand it, and that creates compassion. So these are the things that we're suggesting you consider. And everything that you do, you're not doing for your brother, you're doing it for you, to free you, from these judgments, to free you from this tiny prison of dislike, judgment, disdain.
Trying to change someone else and have them be the way your frightened part wants them to be.
All those are tiny prisons.
Yeah. So thank you so much for sharing, Suha.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'd like to call in Kristen. Kristen, we'll open your microphone up just a second.
Okay.
There you are. I can hear you now.
Okay, hello. Thank you for taking my question. It's actually kind of piggybacking on what I just learned a lot from that last one, because mine is similar. And just to take it one step further, I'm in the same situation with my sister. And just this morning, she reached out on a text. I'm trying to react from not a fear-based position and not to change her and not to feel or try to say, hey, want my advice. So with that said, if the person is not willing to or doesn't want to change, and maybe is acting from a place of mental instability or influences of, you know, chemicals, how do you, with compassion, open the door to your life and let that in without it creating turmoil, or without that sort of, you know, anxiety or that comes with having a person like that in your life? When detaching and staying compassionately away without judging, but yet keeping a door closed, seems a little bit better for yourself. Hello?
So being compassionate, Kristen, doesn't mean that you have an active relationship with that person.
Okay.
You can have a passive, loving relationship with someone. That's possible. Because when that happens, when you know that that's the best thing that you can do for yourself, you can have a passionate, loving relationship. I mean, a passive, loving relationship with someone. And in fact, that is sometimes the choice that needs to be made. But you have to decide that for yourself. I've made that choice before, and I know that before that, I was caretaking
mm-hmm.
this person, trying to make everything better, giving money, doing all kinds of stuff to try to make it different than it was so that the person would change. It was my frightened parts wanting to change that person. And what I realized is that I could no longer do that because it wasn't healthy for either of us for me to do that. And for sure, it wasn't healthy for me. So
yes.
When I knew, what I knew is that I love that person no matter what. No matter what, but it's a passive relationship until she decides to take a healthy step in a direction that would support her and her health.
Absolutely, and in taking that next step, and if you lay that out, so to speak, it sounds like an ultimatum, and I feel like that's where I'm at. And again, to reestablish my position because I've already detached, so to speak, but I don't wish any harm. I just wish to say, you know, look, if you can't face or discuss, if we can't be in a place here, then I really need you to stay a little bit outside my world. And I'm feeling like that's going to come across judgmental.
So, Kristen, you know, I've been practicing creating authentic power for many years. And it took me a long time to get to a place where I could have a passive loving relationship with different people in my life, because I could see that any other thing would be actually both of us in fear.
Uh-huh.
And so it takes time. It takes time okay. to really look at how, because really my time is spent, am I making choices in love or fear? And if I'm making them in fear, I do my best to challenge those parts of myself and make them in love. And some choices are harder because some frightened parts are so attached to having it be a certain way. And it takes practice. You know, I mean, this is, for me, my life is about practicing being, you know, having my life be more and more loving and less fearful. And so you're on your path. I, you know, suggest that you continue coming on the calls, you know, and reading, coming to events if you can, and actually practicing with people who are doing the same thing, because it's really
uh-huh.
helpful, you know,
yeah,
when you have others, you know, to share with. Because for me, I wouldn't want to give you advice. What I want to
Darn
do
it.
Is I want you to find your own way to creating love, because that only you will know.
Mm.
You will only know if your choice is coming from love or fear. And sometimes you may find it from fear again, and then you choose again.
Oh, good point. Okay, thank you.
You're so welcome. It's so good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to call on Bill. Hi, Bill.
So I really was just going to... can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, great. So I was just following up really on both of those things. I actually had a brother that died of addictions and overdose, and I resonate with both of what the previous callers had to say. But I was thinking less about someone in my life with addictions and more about someone, a parent and a step-parent who... Detachment was the word that was coming into my mind when you were using a passive relationship versus somehow a passive relationship, having compassion and being passive sort of seems like a contradiction somehow in my head. And so I found with relationships where I have an expectation like a parent and that I've had to coach myself and recover myself off of that expectation for many, many years, there has to be this very firm boundary that I create for myself just out of compassion for myself. And I was wondering if you could comment on that distinction.
Well, first of all, I didn't say passive relationship. I said a passive loving relationship, right?
Mm.
So my love is no different, but my contact with that person is not frequent.
Right.
And also I feel compassion, much compassion, because I know how difficult it is to live a life in the Earth School. It's not so easy sometimes. And many people don't know they have choices. They don't realize
right.
that they have fearful parts and they have loving parts, and they can actually make a choice in every moment to create with love, even when they're in fear. And that's not something that
right.
so many people on the Earth know, you know, so, yeah. So I don't know if that helped or not, Bill, because I don't know if I understood exactly what you were saying. I'm not positive.
I think I was asking for further clarification on the idea of having compassion for someone that's in your life and going to be in your life one way or the other, like a parent, and yet still having to maintain a very strong boundary for your own emotional health. In other words, you can love them from a distance.
I think I understand what you're talking about, Bill. We've had some experiences where someone who we were very close to had some problems with addiction and maybe some other problems as well. And we had to say to this person, we'll give you all the help that we can, but you've got to take the first step yourself. You've got to check yourself into someplace, then we'll help you. Or just commit to checking in and we'll help you find the place. But until then, we're not going to do any more of what we've been doing. Now, that doesn't
right.
mean that our love disappeared. It didn't disappear at all. And it doesn't mean that we don't have compassion for this person. It means that you might have been calling that setting boundaries, but I don't feel any boundaries between us and the people that we're interacting with like this. And that's, I hope this is making sense.
Well, we can explore it more at the journey. I know you're coming.
Yes, yes.
And we can explore more there.
And when it's with parents, that's always a challenge, including step-parents. I had a really painful relationship with my father, and I'll be glad to share how beautifully that turned out and what it required to get it there. It doesn't always work like that. There's people that have parents and step-parents that are addicts, alcoholics, very abusive, and there's different paths, but there's no formula. There's no formula.
Right.
There's only love, and there's fear. And as you develop your ability to act from love more frequently, you create more constructive and beneficial consequences. And that's creating authentic power. You're welcome.
Thanks, Bill. Good to hear your voice. See you very soon. I think we only have time. I know a lot of people have been hesitant, but I think we only have time for one more. Amy, I'm going to take Amy. And then we're going to go on to another part of the call, which I'm really excited about. Yes, Amy?
Hello.
Hi.
Nice to meet you. I'd like to have a comment about the last few commenters, because Gary and Linda say that as a parent or someone who are involved with abuse situation, you always do, you can always share the stories that if they have an alcohol problem, then you can tell that what the consequence will be. And then not, just like you said, the living, a passive, loving relationship, it doesn't mean like what I have understand from you is that you just don't leave that person, just have a distance, but you just can't share as a parent, as a brother, as a sister. If you have so much alcohol or if you have so much drugs, this would be consequences. And then, so would you like to have that kind of consequence? Like you always say, like, if you take the love kind of action, then you have this consequence. And if you have this fear action you take, then you have this, how to say, consequences.
I think I understand you, Amy, but I'm not too sure. It's not a matter of saying, do this and you'll have this consequence, do that and you'll have this consequence.
What I like to say that you, like you, Gary and Linda does to us, that maybe the parents or Suha can tell them, share their story, what they know. So would you like to do that kind of action? That because the consequence is very clear for Suha or the other two people, or for me, for you. It will be very painful consequences if they take too much alcohol or abuse. But lots of people does not suggest, even maybe in their mind they know it, but still they do not realize clearly. And then we can indicate them. After that, we can have a distance maybe.
Amy,
we're going to mute you because when Gary talks, there's an echo because of your phone. So I'm going to mute you right now and then I'll answer your question.
Okay, Amy, we're not talking about trying to change somebody else. You can have the intention to help someone else become healthier. But if you have an attachment to it, then you're trying to change that person. So it's not a matter of offering them or giving them ultimatums. Sometimes you can't share. Sometimes people are so close because they're so much in fear, they're not going to listen and they don't want to listen. In that case, you can still continue to love them, but not have them in your life. That's a big distinction to make. If you're trying to change them, that's not going to be a constructive thing to do. We suggest that the constructive thing to do would be to change yourself. To find the parts of you that are pushing them away because they're unlivable, unbearable, because they're violent, because whatever it is, and find out how you can simply be in balance yourself, love them, live in the world with compassion and without closing your heart. Now, keeping an open heart does not mean letting anyone march into your life. Mm-hmm. No matter how disturbed or troubled or violent or destructive they are. It does not mean that at all. Creating authentic power doesn't mean making yourself a doormat for the world. It means understanding the difference in you, not in someone else, but in you, between love and fear, and then choosing love. And choosing love doesn't mean come and abuse me some more. It means doing what is most healthy and most appropriate. And that's a matter of experimenting. That's creating authentic power. I'm very glad you're on the call. I'm not sure that I understand exactly what you were saying, but I've given you an answer that I think might be appropriate. And if it is, I hope that it's helpful.
Okay, so now what we're going to do, This is a really good opportunity right now for all of you to be on the call together with each other. There'll be about four people in a group in the call so that you'll get a chance to talk to the people, like four other people that are on this call, and you can explore something together. And even if you feel like you're not sure that you want to do that, just try it out, see what happens. So I'm going to give you just some thoughts for you to share with each other. So I'm going to have, if you can, just first introduce yourself to each other. I think that would be a really good. There'll probably be three or four people in your group. And so what you'll do is I'm going to unmute the microphones, and the only people that will be able to hear you are the people in your group. So I'd like you to just say your name and then just go around the group. And whoever says their name first will start the exercise when we do an exercise together, when you do one together. So I'm going to go ahead and unmute the microphones now so you can just very quickly say your name. I'm only going to give you less than a minute to do that for all four of you to say your name. So go ahead and do it now. Okay, hopefully you've been able to each introduce yourselves, but if not, you can do that a little later. So I'm going to mute you now. And we're just going to, this is what I want you to talk to each other about. So if you can, you can close your eyes right now. And this is an opportunity for you to speak to your fellow participants. To talk about some things that might be important. So close your eyes if you can, if it's safe where you are, and rest for a moment with your eyes closed. If you can't close your eyes, that's fine. But what I'd like you to do, if possible, recall the most unexpected time you felt compassion. What happened? Were you aware of your intention to change your perspective from fear to love? Or did it just come as a feeling of compassion when you weren't expecting it? Were you aware of the compassion for yourself as well at that moment? So that's what I want you to just be with for a moment. So go ahead and just be with that. Okay, and now what I'd like you to do is share with each other, and I'll tell you when you can share, but first I want you to just share with as the first person in the group, I want you to share what was the most unexpected time you felt compassion. Did you feel it for yourself? What happened? You know, what happened at that time? So when I ring the chime, we're going to let the first person speak in the group, and I'm going to let you have a minute. And then as soon as it's time for the second person to share the same thing, I'll ring a chime. And we'll keep doing that for a minute each. So I'm going to start with, go ahead, the first person begin. I'll let you know when the microphones are open. Go ahead and open the microphones and we'll begin. Okay, begin now. You'll have a minute. Be bold. Be the number one. Okay, it's time for the second person to share an experience. So go ahead and do that. Time for the third person to share. Go ahead and do that for another minute. We're going to give you one more minute. So so the third person or the fourth person in the group, go ahead and speak. If you have only three in your group, of course, just whoever needs to speak to say anything more about experiences of compassion, unexpected times you felt compassion, and you'll have another minute. Go ahead and do that now. Okay, we're gonna mute everyone for a few moments. You'll get to go back into your groups, but I wanna mute you now and let you know that Gary and I are gonna be leaving the call soon, but we wanted to have you stay in your groups until, you can stay in your group until 10:30 if you want to, for another half hour. And what we'd like you to do is first say a few things, and then I'll tell you what I think it would be great for you to talk about because it's so relevant to our call. So a couple things we want to say, though, that we're going to have another Life School call August 11th, in case you didn't hear Gail tell that at the beginning of the event, at the beginning of the call. And also we're going to be doing an event at in Whistler, Canada, a Wanderlust event in August, the 3rd, 4th, and 5th. We're going to do small events each day. So if you are in that area and you'd like to come, we'd love to see you there. And let us know if you're coming. Just email us and let us know at lifeschool@seatofasoul. And also, if we did not answer some of your questions, or if you have other comments or other thoughts, please email us at lifeschool@seatofthesoul.com. We love to get your questions and try to answer them on either the Life School website as a video or on the calls. Guillaume mentioned that we are people can apply now for the Authentic Power Immersion Program. That's a really deep program that spans over 3 years. You apply and come for a year at a time and learn just really wonderful things about creating authentic power and spiritual partnership. What I mean is as an ongoing, having authentic power be an ongoing meditation in your life. So that's something that we've opened up again for application for this particular year. And we'll be starting that in September. So you can look on the website if you're interested in that. So what I'd like you to do while you're with your groups is continue sharing your insights about choices, the big choices of love and fear, intentions, and how you find your intention for what you're doing, and also compassion. So any more about compassion that you'd like to talk about. So those are the things that that will allow you to have such amazing conversations. And beloved, was there anything else you wanted to say before we leave?
Well, it's wonderful to be able to talk about such significant things and such common experiences as learning to live a life of love. That's it in short. How to do that. That's creating authentic power. And everything that we discuss in a life school or at one of our events is about that, is about creating authentic power. And I love talking to you about these things. So let's meet again in the next life school or at an event.
Oh, also, I just wanted to, that's all. That's all for now. I'm just really grateful to be with you. And what we're going to do now is open up the microphones. And
you'll be in your group.
You'll
right?
be in your group. And if you get into another group, because sometimes that happens, you'll get into another group and join it and see what happens. And also, there may be people coming into the groups that will support you. There's a few people on the call that are in our Authentic Power Immersion Program that are there to support. So they may come into your group and share also and support in whatever way they can. So go ahead and open up the microphones. And all of you, have a really wonderful rest of your day. And it was really great to be on a call with you. So we're going to open up the microphones now. Go ahead and begin with each other.